I know this morning I'm going to ask you to do something that I very seldom ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to sing a little bit. Let's see if my little keyboard in my hand is willing to give me a push. Who am I? Can you sing that back to me? Who am I? Excellent. What am I doing?
What am I doing?
That's just beautiful. Who am I?
Who am I?
What am I doing? Okay, now we're going to go back to when I was in college, and we're going to sing this as if we're a computer voice, actually, with a little fun. So we're going to sing, who am I, what am I doing? Who am I, what am I doing? Can you sing that with me? Who am I, what am I doing? Who am I, what am I doing? Who am I, what am I doing? You're just wonderful. Don't forget it. This month we've been thinking about and talking about the question of truth. What is truth? Pilate asked Jesus, and it's not altogether clear that Jesus felt motivated to answer the question with words. To tell the truth would be to tell one's philosophy, but philosophy in the days of Jesus and in the days of other philosophers was not just a subject to be studied in college or online after hours. Philosophy was a way of being in the world. A set of beliefs, of course, certainly, maybe even with key texts and central stories and leading personalities. But a philosophy is most essentially an ethical understanding of the way the world ought to be. And a philosophy is not thought about or taught about, but rather lived. For Jesus, the answer to what is truth was the life he lived, the life that shared bread with the outcast and derided, that proclaimed a kingdom not known in this world of either pettiness or Pilate's empire, but in a way that showed attention to injustice and suffering. Less than proclaiming or studying a philosophy, one has a philosophy, one lives a philosophy, one is a philosophy. Each week this month we've been singing, where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? And the answer is not just pondered in our hearts in this hour, sometimes 75-minute hour that we spend together. Not just in our personal practices of loving our families and growing our souls, but to have a philosophy is to have a way of being in the world. And I believe that's why we're here, to have an approach to the way we wish to be in the world. Knowing truth in my life, knowing the truth of my life, is about discovering what is how I am going to live in this world. And each of us is required to understand what makes us tick. And it's not just in our heads, we experiment, we try things out. We live our lives and we sit back and evaluate what the life is that we've lived, and we discover what our truth is. My philosophy tells me that there is a light in each human life, perhaps a spark of the divine in each human. Perhaps maybe a divine light abides even in me, but it can't be true unless I discover that truth, uncover that truth, exhibit that light. And then in the living of my life, as I live it, then I can begin to know that it's true, that it is truth and that I am truth, my truth. Being true to what makes me me is a part of answering the question, what is truth? Can you sing with me? Who am I? What am I doing? 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 If we had a microphone, we'd make a little noise on the who am I? What am I doing? Who am I? What am I doing? We'll do that next time. There is a second part of the song which is interesting to me. Hello, and who are you? Can you sing that with me? Hello, and who are you? And you have to almost feel like you've got like white go-go boots on and, you know, a pleather hat. And you, hello, and who are you? Can you sing that? Hello, and who are you? And then there's the other one. Hello, and who am I? Hello, and who are you? Hello, and who am I? What is truth? If indeed the truth I discover, I live, I reveal, is that my humanness is in part a reflection of some divine spark in me, then my discovery, my recovery, my uncovery of the truth is me perceiving that if the divine spark in you is what makes us human, you're human, and I have to find the divine spark that's in you. I have to find a way in me to be able to perceive that in you. It's up to me to be able to make that connection. My composition professor, Gerald Shapiro, who Shep we used to call him, who wrote this little who am I, what am I doing, says that the encounter with the other is something that should open us up. Hello, who are you? And then hello, who am I? That this encounter of each other is about discovery. This encounter with each other is about the possibility of something true breaking out in us. It's so easy for me to be in this world and never see the truth of other people who are themselves in themselves. So easy for me to see others only in their relationship with me, how they help me. It could be that your experience is actually immaterial, except for its utility in my life. I could turn you not from being a person, but into being an object, a pretty rock. What shall I do with this rock? Shall it be a tool? Shall it be decorative? Shall I build a temple out of it? But it's an object. And its existence is about me. And that's not what my encounter with you should be. My encounter with you should awaken something in me that I allow you to be you, and I allow me to be me. Philosopher Martin Buber warns us against turning the people around us into things. Buber thinks that each of us experiences ourselves as the great I am. I am filled with a capacity. My decisiveness is great. My emotional life is rich and important. My moral compass especially true. The truth is that I am. But to whom do I relate if I do not encounter you as an I am? Then I have changed you into a thing, not an I, but an it. The truth that we need to cherish, the truth that we need to reveal, the truth that we need to live is that you are as rich as I am I. That our relationship is not about me being the subject of our life and you being the object, but we are two great subjects about the task of revealing our two great truths, not I, it, but I, thou. Hello, and who are you? Is matched with hello, and who am I? Our hymn by William Blake asks, can I see another's woe and not be in sorrow too? Can I see another's grief and not seek for kind relief? Finding our truth, finding my truth, means learning another's truth, means learning your truth too. Being true to our own inner light includes being true to our friend's inner light, true to our friendship, true friendship. There is something of this truth that we are alive, I living my truth and I discovering the truth in you. There's something of this which involves the truth of us. What is it that we are called to together, to reveal together the greater meaning than we can find in living separately? You heard Marcus Aurelius ask us to know the circumstances of our lives. What is my life? Of what is it made? How long will it last? And most importantly, what quality does it require of me? This life, what does it require? Gentleness, courage, honesty, faith, simplicity, independence. There's a truth in our congregation today, and we spoke about it in a little session before church. It relates to some of the congregations with whom we seek to have I-thou relationships. We were a founding member of a congregation-based community organization called Bridge. We formed this organization 12 years ago and stood with other partners to say that there was something in us being with each other, that there was something of us discovering the truth of how we lived as congregations and how the others lived and how we might live together. We said that we were going to overcome the things that divided us, including divisions of geography and theology, of racial inequality, divisions of unequal access to services, to the places where key decisions are made, to public power. With great hope and even courage, we stepped out together and we began a vital work in the Baltimore region, a truth-telling work of which I hope that you are proud. Somewhere along the way, we lost the way. Maybe it was in the flurry of activity, which can be exciting, but which can also unearth tensions. Maybe it was in the conflict that arose around relating to a national network that was in crisis and trying to distance ourselves from it and launch another one. Maybe it was in the excitement brought to the whole organization when a non-creedal, diverse, decidedly humanistic congregation, this place called First Unitarian Church of Baltimore, began to play a very significant leading role, organizing the Pilgrimage for Jobs and Justice in West Baltimore and an action in Hyattsville to raise consciousness about public transportation and support for getting more jobs from transportation construction, the Red Line in Baltimore, the Purple Line in the DC suburbs. Maybe it was our decisive role in bringing together religious voices in support of raising the minimum wage in Maryland. But we got lost along the way, maybe in part because we allowed some people to stay in office for too long. Key leaders asked for years to be replaced, tried to say what UU theologian Eric Wickstrom calls the sacred no. Wanted to say, I'm done with this job, will someone else please pick it up? And we didn't take it seriously and do the renovation and rejuvenation that we needed to be a part of. And so people got sloppy. Leaders who might have played a stronger role in supervising our organizing staff and protecting, cherishing the good standing of our organization, displayed moments of being only half there. And what became clear in recent weeks was that the whole system of Bridge could not hear and did not understand the voice of First Unitarian Church and the urgency in our voice to get some things straightened out. When First Unitarian leaders said that changes had to be made to protect our good name, they weren't just talking about First Unitarian Church's good name and our leaders' good name and even our ministers' good name. Our leaders were talking about Bridge's good name, both the I and the thou, calling both to live up to the best that they could be, and even calling both to live up to the minimal standards of what it meant to safely protect one's reputation. What strikes me is that First Unitarian leaders were being true friends, were being true partners, and making some demands that any friend ought to make if indeed we're not going to get into a relationship where one of us is the object and one of us is the subject. If we're going to be in an I-thou relationship of equality, of trust, of public goodwill and hope, we have to be able to count on each other to stand up for the relationship as well as for one's own light, the light that each of us has and the light that we share. Like a good friend holding an I-thou relationship, First Unitarian looked to reveal its light, to live its truth, and it sought to help Bridge live its light and live its truth. And Bridge, as a whole, could not respond, could not cherish its own light. And so we chose to state what was evidently true, that First Unitarian was no longer the leader because nobody was following. And we could take no further responsibility for the ways Bridge was or was not moving, and that we needed to withdraw as one of its leading congregations. And indeed, we are no longer a member. What an experience of finding the truth, knowing and showing our own light, seeing and sharing the other's light, and walking together in ways that we can, for as long as we can, but not becoming the object of another's subjectivity. Now, I am a universalist. I live in hope because I take as an article of faith that in a way that I cannot understand, there is a love in this life that is moving among us to repair our brokenness, to unite our disparities, to reveal our interconnectedness, and to bring us and all of existence into powerful harmony. This love was working in its board and its actions. This powerful love may move in the remaining leadership of Bridge and its actions. And the day may come when a relationship with the congregations that comprise Bridge, or did comprise Bridge just a few weeks ago, can be, a new relationship could be contemplated. A new effort could begin. And I hope that this will indeed happen. I hope that we learn something from this with each other, and I hope that our partners in Bridge learn something from this. There is no work in all of my life that has so challenged me to the core about really what my truth is. No work that has more challenged me to re-examine my own assumptions. No work that has so animated my desire to expose in me the heterosexism and male supremacy and racism that were part of the culture that raised me and are somehow inside of me, and that I yearn for universal love to come and help dissipate. There is no work beyond this kind of engagement of the other that has so transformed me as a religious person. There's been nothing that has been so demanding of my transformation. It is based on my building relationships of mutuality with people who are very different from me. It is based on me being brave enough to tell my story, my self-interest, my truth. It's based on me being able to create possibility where they might share their own, and I can convince them that I really want to hear what they are, who they are, how they think, how they exhibit their light. And it allows and demands that we decide together what we're going to do about the lives we live, the power we share, the capacity we may have to live the truth, the truth, the truth that each of us is called to find in this place, the truth that all of us are invited to challenge in this place, the truth that sustains us and allows us to be the people of hope that we in this congregation are. Go from this place and live your truth. Blessed be.